Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Girl, episode 112. In this podcast, we review and discuss the TV show Fear the Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. Go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to leave a voicemail feedback, and we might send you a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. And post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
So this is a finale. What happened was AMC decided to play both episodes back to back.
See, I told you, Dad. After I watched the first one, I said, is there something else after? You're like, no, that's it. The finale. We gotta wait. You lied to me.
No, I didn't lie. I just didn't know. Because we didn't watch it the actual day.
Yeah.
So I just saw two episodes. So I said, okay, well, we'll just do one podcast per episode. But it turns out both episodes were released back to back that week. Mm-hmm. So everybody saw.
Like we're crunched for time because the Walking Dead's coming around.
Yeah, so everybody saw those episodes both together. So we should consider analyzing them as a whole. So what did you think?
Okay, first of all, that first half, or whatever it was called, blew me away. It was the most violent, the ending scene particularly, it was the most violent the show has ever been. And I called you immediately after I'd watched it because I was so in shock. Like I got the same feeling I get when I watch The Walking Dead. And I never get that way with this show. I was like, wow, I feel like it just got shot with like adrenaline or something because it was so heated and sudden, very sudden. This is the first time they've had someone die in the show that we didn't know or see about. They had flashbacks, yes, but it still didn't feel real because we didn't see it.
Yeah, it was in a term of a flashback, which has some controversy on the web. People didn't think that it was doing Chris justice to show it as a flashback.
I don't think so either, because I felt cheated because I thought his storyline was going to be a lot longer. Remember mm-hmm. how in the previous episode we were discussing how he can grow up and he's maybe going to get them killed and blah, 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 blah. But it seems like they didn't get very far to begin with, and he died almost probably immediately after he'd left.
Kind of a lame way, too.
Yeah. It's like his whole life has been a giant fart, you know? Like, just sucks.
Yeah, so people who didn't like Chris basically said, well, good riddance. But people who wanted to see Chris's character move on and do more interesting things kind of got disappointed, and also the way he died was kind of... I agree that it was a good episode. However, I like to contrast it with the last episode, the one after, which was I didn't like. So I liked the second last episode with Travis going berserk, but mm-hmm. I did not like the last one, how they ended it. And it hinted at some things that didn't really interest me. Like same old,
like
same
what?
Old. Well, like, oh yeah, they get captured and they're going to get captured and put into some prison or something. Okay. And the family gets all back together. Okay. Start from square one.
Exactly. I also didn't like the fact that Strand is no longer with them because Strand was a very interesting character. Madison still pisses me off, and she really pissed me off in these two episodes. And we have this, but there is something.
Something.
Because of course they were going to look for Nick, mm-hmm. obviously, but I liked the moment where Alicia said, Mom, what are you doing?
What do you think
when
that meant?
She was searching the bodies, meaning like, look at what you've become. Like, who are you right now? Like, what are you doing? You're searching the bodies of dead people. Like, do you know what just happened?
Yeah.
And why are you so crass and uncaring and unfeeling? This is not the woman that I recognize as my mother,
well,
you know?
Well, yeah.
Especially since she had to, her parents basically put her daughter, in the position that she had to kill a man. She had to kill somebody for her family's mistakes.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. Like, what? I would be the same way.
So there's a lot of deep things in this episode because of the, So you can see who the central characters are now. After two seasons, we finally understand where the show is going, I think.
Yeah.
It's family, but it's also like Travis, Madison, Alicia, and Nick. It was Chris, but now Chris is dead.
Yeah, but he was always going to die eventually.
These are the central characters, and they were the ones from the very beginning. We just didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, maybe Strand is going to be like... And now Strand is kind of like a secondary...
Strand's storyline is done.
No, I think he's going to be back.
You think so?
Yeah, there was some...
Oh, yeah, and there's Ophelia as well.
Ophelia, which is also like a side story.
Mm-hmm.
But notice that Ophelia got also caught by some guy with a gun at the border, so maybe... how convenient. Maybe she'll get thrown into the same prison that the other people do.
Yeah.
And then they all meet together.
Like, I didn't even know that she was on her way to America. Like, that's how
she was
subtle it was.
It was kind of weird because she was walking along the border one way and then she was walking along the border the other way. And I was kind of confused as to the orientation of things. But
it was really easy to get into the border once there was a hole.
Well, yeah. That's why Trump wants to make a wall.
Oh, God. Don't even talk about Trump, please. This is a Trump-free podcast.
It's a politics-free podcast in general.
Yes, in general.
The episode with Travis going crazy, the second last, was great. I loved it. There were so many good moments in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was Travis going crazy. The other cool, gross thing was Nick with his thumbs.
Oh, my God. That blew me away. I was like, what is happening? And why are they allowing this to happen? It was so gruesome. I'm like, just get a hammer or something. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
I thought that was gross. It was good, though.
That was pretty much, in my opinion, was the most gruesome thing I saw in The Walking Dead period. Like, not just this series, but even the original series.
I think so too.
Like,
I could not watch it.
I was like squirming the whole time, and I rarely squirm with The Walking Dead. And like, there was a moment where Daryl like grabbed a walker head with...
Oh yeah, that was half burned or something
from the eye sockets, and just threw it around and beat someone with it or something. But this was like
from the spleen.
This was like so slow, and the person didn't look like a walker. It looked like a person, right?
Yeah. And then like the blood came dripping out of it.
Out of his eye sockets.
Yes. Oh God. I could not deal with that. That was the gross. I wasn't even eating and I wanted to throw up. It was good. It was really good. Unnecessary, I think, but good.
It just shows how ruthless Nick is and how able to survive he is.
I don't even think he even was into it when he was doing it. I don't even think he liked what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, his face was, you know, squirming
just as twisted
as
ours were. Yeah.
And even though Chris's death was not doing it justice, it was sad, and it was also brutal, kind of, because you could see him like crawling out of the car, like trying to escape.
Yeah. At first I thought, I'm like, okay, he died, okay. But the fact that he was survived and then it was dragged around, that was tough.
And also the guys just walking up and just blowing his brains out. You know, without any moment of hesitation. And no. you could probably imagine what like Chris was like, oh, please, guys, don't shoot me, like begging for his life or something. And then those words flashing back into his head about, oh, yeah. Imagine what they would do to me. They don't even care about their friends, you know? So he saw it coming.
Yeah, he knew what was going to happen, but he just didn't think it was going to happen to him. That's kind of like the syndrome that all young people have. They think they're going to live forever and nothing can touch them, you know? And then eventually something does and they realize, oh, crap, I screwed up.
Yeah, in all fairness, it wasn't because he couldn't drive. It was because he fell asleep.
Yeah, honestly. I can't believe they even in his death, they were talking about what kind of kid doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah, they were bad-mouthing him.
Seriously?
Yeah, those guys deserve to go.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, so that was another moment. Another moment, which wasn't kind of a violent one, but was a pivotal moment, I think, in the show, which will actually inform kind of the rest, maybe season three, if there is a season three, because I don't know about the ratings, but if there is a season three, then another pivotal moment was when Madison and Travis had that talk, and I have an audio clip of it, which we can play later, but where they had that talk and they said, Travis says, hey, this is who I am now. And Madison says, well, I am the same person. And then
I had to leave. What's her name? I forgot her name. I had to think for a minute for like, who the heck is Celia?
The crazy woman.
Yeah.
I killed her. And then also the combination of Alicia killing someone. So all three of them have killed someone. So now
they're all responsible now.
So all three of them are in the same level of, we're all killers. We've changed. We're not who we were. This is the new family now.
Yeah. How are we going to deal with it?
This is the new killer, Manawas.
Yeah, Manawas. Yeah, the thing is, I think they're being so dramatic. But that's because we're jaded fans. We've seen this before.
Yeah, there was too much exposition. Like, they were actually talking, yes, this is who I am now. Oh, yeah, this is who I am now.
With The Walking Dead, it's like you just see it in enough the message was said alone in their face. That's all they needed, you know?
Yeah, I guess it has to be between Madison and Travis to say, hey, yeah, look, we're on the same page. We're both vicious killers now.
Not real. They're not even vicious killers. They make it sound so bad. Like I've done worse. So like, oh, this is bad. Like,
by the way, no. Celia volunteered to go into that locked room, by the
way. She just locked the door. She didn't do jack. Okay.
She volunteered. Okay. I'm killing pretty much.
Honestly, I almost forgot about it. I'm like, really? You count that as killing someone? Okay.
Travis, though, was pretty ruthless.
Okay, I have mixed feelings because I liked the Americans. Yeah, they were douchebags, but they were funny. I thought they were funny. And do you see how they were yelling at the people when they were getting help? And they were like being rude to everyone.
Yeah, and racist, too.
Typical, man. Typical America. I have friends who would do that. That's a sad thing. I know people who would do that.
They're not typical Americans. They're just the Americans.
Typical kids.
Kids, yeah, that you don't want to hang out with and you don't want to be around.
Yeah.
So let's quickly go through some of the key moments of the show. And we'll leave Ophelia. Well, actually, let's talk. Her Ophelia's moment in the show was so brief.
So brief.
But basically what happened with her was she got her car ran out of gas and she decided to walk through the desert.
So she could find a hole in the border. That was her whole goal.
Yeah, but the confusing thing, and I think it might have been a blooper, was she wanted to go to Arizona or something.
Okay.
Or Nevada or whatever. And she was going west. I think she was walking west instead of east. So she was going towards California, which was
Attention to that stuff?
Well, she was walking. That's why I was confused. Like, if you're going to Arizona, I think you should be going east. I don't know. Along the border.
Maybe it was the camera angles. They just filmed it, making it look like she was going the opposite way. Or was there like an actual sign?
I don't know. It just looked weird.
Mm. Yeah, but she has to, before she could start walking, she kills a bunch of walkers and she feels happy because she actually took down like four of them.
Yeah, she's pretty self-sufficient. So I think Ophelia has a way to go as far as her storyline, because there's no point why they showed us that if they're not going to continue it, right?
Exactly.
Unless the whole point is we want her to come back to the group, so let her got caught by the border person and then thrown into the same jail as the family. Like another convenient, quote-unquote, reuniting moment. So what did you think? What do you think in general of this thing that they're introducing into the story of these guys that are kind of guarding the border or something?
Yeah, I think I hope it's not true, but I'm thinking because it's so early in the apocalypse, maybe these men are trying to protect the borders from immigrants, illegal immigrants. The government's gone, so we gotta keep doing what we were doing, or maybe volunteers even.
Yeah, we gotta do our civic duty or whatever.
Yeah, because the guy was like, "Welcome to America,"
Senorita.
Yeah, which is obviously thinking she's probably immigrant and trying to illegally pass through. So
it's early on
at her.
Mm-hmm. So that helicopter, do you think that Nick saw was probably part of that group?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, maybe it is, because at the end of the day, they still got attacked by them.
And not only that, but we know already that any kind of official camp or whatever is just is no good anyway. I mean, they were in season one, they were in a camp.
They started off there.
And you saw how they treated people, right? They put them, they lock them up and everything. So mm-hmm. I don't know if Nick's idea to go there was a good one, actually.
Yeah, it actually wasn't. It backfired on him big time.
Yeah.
The biggest backfire of all time.
Yeah.
But it's safer than, well, not even that, because now they're all scattered. They don't even know. And Luciana got shot.
Oh, come on. You know she's going to survive. It was in the shoulder.
I don't know. She was holding her chest. I'm like, no, did she get shot in the heart? Because they're just throwing you around like it's no big deal.
No, it was in her shoulder.
Okay.
I could tell in who's going to survive and die in the show. Because like the other guy who was one of the scouts, I forgot his name, but he got shot in the stomach and fell down like unconscious. Boom. So he's dead. But Luciana was still moving and her shoulder.
Yeah, they threw her around. Like she didn't even get shot. Bad acting on her part. She didn't even act like she got a gunshot wound after that.
Yeah.
So like I didn't see any of it.
They'll survive.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of survival, Strand is like, he's good. Strand is good. He's healthy.
Yeah, barely. He was holding his thing at the end.
No, he wasn't holding it. He was hovering his hand. It's like, it's like he's
indicating he has a wound. See, indicating, like, Dad.
Oh, I have a wound, but I'm not touching myself because it's too sensitive. So I'll just hover my hand.
But I still have to let you know that I have a wound, but I can't touch it because it's so bad. But it's so bad that I have to acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah,
it just happened recently.
Apparently, you can survive a stab to the groin.
I mean, you can. It's just that I don't know how fast.
With someone who has hardly any medical knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh, which, by the way, now he's not there anymore because they killed him.
That's exactly why I was like, Alicia, out of all the people you could have killed, you killed the one medic in the whole place. He was doing surgery on his freaking brother.
Not only did they kill the medic, but they busted the doors open on their way out.
Yeah.
So all the walkers couldn't come in.
They're such bad people. Like, if you think about it, compared to the Walking Dead group, these people are just wrecking havoc, leaving a mess everywhere they go. They don't even leave quietly. They don't even finish the job. They just leave with everything chasing. Like, everywhere they've touched has collapsed. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Everything that they do. Like, oh my gosh. So those people, that family that they wanted to kill themselves, destroyed all of them. Okay. That boat where Alicia fell in love with that kid. That boat where Alicia fell in love with the kid, destroyed. Everyone died. Jesse McCartney's face got ripped off, and then he ripped somebody else's face off. And they leave on the little boat and like, oh, woe is me. Life is so hard. Like, I don't.
Yeah. So they busted all the gates. So that hotel is going down.
Yeah, now the hotel's gone.
No, because they don't have a doctor and the gates are wide open at night.
It was all Madison's fault for letting those people in to begin with.
And for turning on the beacon, the come over here beacon. Yeah.
And then having her husband or boyfriend or whoever he is kill someone.
Yeah, so there was speaking of the Madison letting the people in, you noticed it was kind of weird, like the people all of a sudden showed up in the parking lot, in the garage, underground parking. But the previous episode, they were like, no, we're not letting anyone in. And then all of a sudden, everyone's in.
Yeah.
Like, you just think that was weird?
But like, oh, we had to. Like, we had no choice. They were begging.
So,
hello, this is the apocalypse. You owe no one anything.
Well, what I'm saying is I think that was kind of an editing decision because I saw on the web, even on AMC's website, that they had pictures mm-hmm. of Madison with an axe standing in front of the gates, and behind her was a bunch of dead people and walkers and stuff. So I'm wondering what happened is maybe there was a scene that they cut out where they didn't show in the show where like walkers, the people were there banging to get in, and then walkers started attacking them from behind. And they felt so bad that they actually had to let them in. To save them because they were
maybe
getting
eaten. Maybe they did cut it.
So I figured that maybe there was a scene that it was explaining how the people got in, but they cut it out.
I guess they just did, because they didn't think it was that important.
Yeah. But,
interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about Nick and, you know, he sneaks out of the camp and goes to do his sneaky deal, right?
Yeah, regardless of what they had said.
Yeah. So
yeah, and Nick ends up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ends up there. He offers the drugs, but it's already too late because he seems to be planning to attack the place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the leader says, "We don't need your stuff anymore. We're trading your fortress for the drugs. If you want to live, leave now." I mean, he has the courtesy enough to tell them to leave, yeah. You know, but apparently he found another drug lord who can support them and says, well, they just want the place, so we'll take it for them.
Yeah. And, another, kind of brutal moment was the revelation that the people that they kidnapped, the couple, they killed, even the kid, right?
Yeah. Which is brutal, man. So
that basically shows to us and to Nick that these guys mean business. They're not joking around.
They don't care.
And so do you think...
See, this is tough because you were expecting a huge fight, but as usual, they don't give it to you.
No massacre or anything.
No massacre. If in fact, it's kind of the opposite. They desert the place.
I was even surprised that Nick even went, because the last episode we said, well, Nick saw them.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, what's the point in doing the deal, right?
Because he just had to try. Yeah, he just had to try.
I guess. And then so Nick goes back, and then they have, again, one thing I was just tired of in this episode was like Nick trying to convince Luciana again. It seems like it was a hopeless cause. I guess they wanted to show that, look how hard it is to convince her, right?
Yeah, because everyone loves conflict.
Yeah.
But it's just Luciana's blind devotion to Alejandro doesn't make sense anyway.
Yeah. And then we have the big scene we talked about where the walker bites Alejandro.
That walker gets around.
I love the part where Nick and the walker fall over the balcony. That was cool.
They land on the bed.
It's like, oh my God.
And I like how everyone's just like standing there looking over the edge. Alejandro and Luciana. They didn't even go. They just watched as they fell.
Yeah.
Like.
And then the walker bites the nose off that guy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Rips it off. And then the guy later on is just holding a rag to his nose.
And he was able to stand with. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That would be so much pain.
And they waste the time feeding them to the wall again, like this whole ritual thing. I'm tired of it.
It's all BS. It's all BS.
It's like enough already.
Because Alejandro gets bit and Nick notices the fear that's on his face when he should be thinking, oh, he should be fine.
So did you, of course, this blows the theory away that we thought, oh, he's immune. So what did you actually fall for the immune thing?
Didn't I tell you that kid probably bit him?
Yeah.
I predicted this. I'm like, it's probably the kid bit him, because when the kid's on drugs like that, you don't know. Yeah. Like, and he was trying to protect the kid. Oh my God, I so called it.
Yeah.
And then Luciana keeps saying, the walker will protect us if we have faith. She is so dumb. I'm sorry. She's pretty, but she's so dumb. She thinks her faith is going to protect her from a bunch of dudes, like 20 dudes with guns, and there's a town full of little kids and old people.
I'm wondering if
is she, I don't understand.
And she didn't seem like the kind of person that wanted to commit suicide either. Like,
yeah,
she didn't seem the person like
she was talking about.
I've given up and whatever happens, happens, you know, we're going to stick here and stick by. So that was kind of frustrating.
I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me why she was holding on so tight.
Yeah. And then she convinces Alejandro to put on some makeup. And go
like, what? Be presentable and speak in front of the people. Like, I know you're trying to keep things looking good, but it's too late, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And it so Nick does escape, and I thought, wow, that must be hard. Like, look how strong Nick is. Like, it must be hard for him to leave her behind, because he apparently loved her, I think.
Yeah.
And then, or had some feelings. It's like, for
you're
her.
Wrong. Shaki actually stays.
Yeah. And then he sees the helicopter with his super, super bionic binoculars.
Yeah, I don't know how but Nick comes back.
Yeah.
Says, okay, the only way you're going to leave is if we find another place. Well, I found another place and let's go. And Nick even like gave, I don't know what, was Alejandro like doing drugs or something? Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to kill himself.
He was doing probably heroin or whatever that was.
Yeah, I said, give them permission to run. Let them go. If you show Luciana you're not afraid, she will listen. And you get to die a beautiful death. What? Okay. Well, either way, it worked.
Yeah.
Because she left with him, with Nick, in the end, with all those people. And the gang arrives to the Colonia. And, you know, it's abandoned. I like when they say, like, they ran like cucarachas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, surprise, Alejandro's still alive, barely. And he decides to kill everyone with the walkers.
So, I don't understand, and this was mentioned in an email by Vic Miller, that, okay, this group is fully armed. They have a lot of weapons. They managed to get in. And they get in, and they walk around, and they see, and how did they get overrun? Like, they had all these weapons, and there are a lot of them.
Right?
And all of a sudden, you know, Madison and Travis come back, and they're all, like, walkers.
And it's, I'm assuming, happened within the same day, so that was really fast that they just all died.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, don't know what, maybe because they were wasting their bullets shooting up in the air, so they didn't have enough to kill the walkers.
Well, yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah, first of all.
Yeah, I guess that's indicative of, well, they're not so smart.
And what about all the women and children they had with them? What happened to them? Remember those the people that they needed to feed the drugs to?
Oh, true.
No. And so is the guy's cousin dead from the hotel? What kind of side story was that? That this built this whole little Elena and her nephew had this cousin or like the brother who was at the thing, and but he wouldn't come back, and you know, and they're just like, oh, like, why didn't you show up if you really cared? Now we're not even at the hotel anymore, and the cousin's dead.
The cousin's dead. We don't know. Did they show? Well, yeah, we don't know if he's dead, but...
Well, we just saw the leader of the guy turn into a zombie when Madison and Travis came.
Yeah, so that was kind of vindication for us. Say, yay, the evil person died. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't know. Maybe the cousin is alive, and maybe the cousin did go back to the hotel. And maybe they'll show us the results of what happened at the hotel.
If we're still following Strand's storyline.
Yeah, because
Strand... Because the main guy... Actually, we're never going to go to that hotel again because the two main guys at the hotel are dead. The doctor and the brother. Mm. And then the mother, I don't know what they did to her, but she's not even sane anymore.
Right. What happened to her?
So what are we going to... What's more for them at the hotel except for Elena and the nephew?
The only solution is to burn down the hotel.
Of course.
Because everything fire. Concludes with
kill
a fire.
Kill it with fire. Kill it with fire.
Everything concludes on Walking Dead with fire.
Oh, so. Yeah. They burned the guy's house. They ruined Strand's life. Oh, my gosh.
So, Strand... We will go back to Strand. And that, I think, is the opportunity to see what happened at the hotel. Or maybe they'll just show Strand walking away from a burning building or something. Who knows?
Maybe. Just but, like usual.
But I think we...
You have here, Luciana gets shot in the shoulder, flesh wound. Yes, it's a flesh wound, question mark. Because if it wasn't, she would not be throwing herself around like she's some
hip
dancer who can handle all the beatings. I don't know.
What that's that, what they do. They shoot someone in a non-life-threatening way to scare to have the audience wonder, ooh, is she dead? Is she alive? Trust me,
conflict,
she's alive.
Conflict.
Trust me, she's alive.
Yeah.
They're gonna stretch it out as far as they can.
Because they finally get to the camp, and then, you know, they realize it's not a refugee camp. Or maybe it is. They're just taking it really harshly. I don't know. But they're Americans, it looks like. And they didn't kill them, though, even though they fired at them.
They killed a few, but yeah.
So I don't know what the goal is, but I feel like the group should have, or at least Nick should have been smart enough to know that the government or the refugee camp is probably not going to be safe because of all the other times they've been in camps that turned out to be not so good.
Just like in Star Wars, that's no moon. It's a Death Star. So
that's funny.
That's the same thing. That's no refugee camp.
Yeah.
I think it's just a prison where they just take all the illegal immigrants, like illegal entrants. Yeah, a typical TV fashion, you know, if you're shooting at someone from a distance and they die, it's okay to kill as many people as you can, but then once you capture them, you can't kill them because that's too brutal.
The tension has to be heightened.
So, I mean, if these people are really determined to protect the border, why don't they just kill everyone?
because they're not determined to protect the border.
Like, why are you why are you capturing them? Like, what's the
story would be over then?
What's the point of capturing them? Yeah. It's okay to kill them from a distance and kill a bunch of them, and but you know, okay, now we have to capture them because they stopped. Okay, so like, they're following some rules, but not all the rules. Like, okay, whatever.
Not all rules apply. Like, okay.
Well, speaking of not all rules apply. I'll talk about this later, but with Strand says to Madison, the old rules don't apply anymore.
I guess not, clearly.
Yeah, so that's Nick and, Luciana's life. Alejandro's gone. The whole community is gone. And the other people in the colony are just, you know.
Yeah, they're gone. They're done.
They're not important anymore. So it's basically about how Nick and Madison are going to get back together, basically. So let's talk about Travis, and he arrived back at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this melancholy discussion with Madison about...
You kept your promise to Liza. It wasn't Liza, right?
Mm-hmm.
Liza. He's safer with people who understand him. I'll remind you until you believe it, when you're ready to come... When you're ready to come downstairs. Okay, I'll remind you until you believe it. Hello? What? So he's safer with people who understand him? Clearly you're wrong, because he's dead now.
Yeah, she screwed up big time as far as...
Again, Madison screws up.
She screwed up in her advice to Travis, I mean...
And she screwed up dragging that kid all over the place, those two kids all over the place, so that he can see them.
Keeping
it a secret, and then it's not really a secret anymore.
Yeah,
it was just a bad combination. Like, what are the chances that they show up? I honestly thought Travis was going to kill himself.
No, I didn't think he would kill himself. I had a feeling that Travis going down there to meet them was going to end up in him killing them no matter what. Like, let's say it was actually true that Chris died on his own, and I think Travis just needed a little trigger to just go off and kill him, and he didn't. I think it didn't really matter. It didn't take much. He would have killed him either way. That was kind of the logical conclusion to this whole thing.
Yeah, I thought it was. I loved the detail about when they were explaining what had happened, and then there was the discrepancy with the details, and
Was he alive or was he dead when he flew out?
Yeah, dragged or pulled, yeah. And because that was the trademark, that is what would get Travis suspicious, because of the fact they did the same thing to their other friends. So it's like, no one would know that unless he had been with them.
Another telling was that, they said to him...
Promise me to let me go!
No. Well, they said, we took care of him. We buried him by the tree. You would really like it. Like... Really? No.
Really?
They would not bury anybody.
They don't give a crap.
They would not bury him.
I know. And they said, can you fix my arm first? Wait, I'll tell you if you please let me go. Give me a car and let me go. Obviously, they're trying to cover for something.
Yeah. And yeah, they went over the top. They said, we totally buried him. And yeah, we said a prayer and everything. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
When they were talking mad smack about him earlier.
Yeah, no, that was the tell for us. Like, no, you guys didn't bury nobody. Either you left him there or you finished him off or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, go fix his shoulder. That's kind of a waste, because Travis is going to kill him anyway. So don't bother fixing his shoulder.
Yeah, there's no point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really funny. That whole, that's why I like those kids. They're entertaining. And then they die. Like, I can't believe he head stomped him. Dad, yeah. I can't believe Travis head stomped the kid.
And the other annoying part was Madison's voice in the background. Travis, stop. No, Travis. No,
that's enough. Like, she did not give a crap. It didn't sound like she gave two flying craps. But like, I did not believe it.
It's like, let me enjoy this this death scene without you screaming.
God. And then he bashes Oscar's head, which kills him. I'm like, poor guy.
Okay, so you were wondering, did you actually think that Did you pay attention Oscar to that scene, that Oscar head bashing scene? Like, I figured.
I thought it was like, oh my God, this guy really, because he started bleeding. I'm like, oh my God, he's still on the ground. And then they had to, when I realized, oh my God, this is bad, because they started dragging his body out because he had not waken up. I thought he was just like one of those, stay back, crash to the door, knock on floor, I'm going to get it back up. Everyone in the show, Dad, I realized, is very, very, very fragile. Like, in other action shows, people would take so much crap. They'd be thrown against trees, falling out of buildings, jumping out of cars, and they survive. That. No, I'm telling you, Dad. Like, they survive. They get injured, but they survive. This guy gets hit in the head with a doorknob, and he dies.
Well, when they showed the fight scene and they showed his head being smashed, I thought it was serious because there was a splatter of blood that flew out of his head. That's true.
Yeah.
And
he killed an innocent man.
Yeah. It was
that I can't forgive. That whatever The Walking Dead, the original cast, does, I will forgive, because they do it because they have to protect themselves and everyone's out to get them. Travis did was sloppy. It was rough.
Life is sloppy, Jasmine.
But this is TV. This is television.
It has to be perfect.
Organized. There has to be a reason for everything. And I will excuse him killing the kids, fine. But not Oscar, man. Jeez, poor guy. His wife dies.
That's why they had to get exiled, because Madison said, if we hurt one another, then that person goes. Sorry.
Yep, exactly.
And
So then probably the mom is gone too, because we don't see her anymore. She probably has been exiled.
Maybe not. Maybe I think that group, I have a feeling we're going to hear more about them in the next season.
You think so?
Yeah, we're going to see an episode where we find out what Strand did back at the hotel. Mm-hmm. Or maybe because they burst the gates open, the walkers came in and ate everyone. So.
Oh, gosh. Again, Madison's fault.
Was she driving, by the way? Or was Travis driving?
I don't know. Good question. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Who's really to blame?
Yes. And then...
I don't know
why Alicia... Oh, yeah. So they exile him, and then Madison convinces them to let him go. Alicia visits Andreas and Hector.
Oh, yeah.
On the operating room. Like, what's the point of that scene? I don't get it.
She's guilty. She feels guilty. She wants to help. Honestly, I think she was just there so that the camera had an excuse to watch this surgery go on.
That was another gross scene, actually.
Oh, my God. I know.
With the drill in the head.
Jeez, man. Why didn't it work?
Because it's a drill. I don't know. It's not.
But then he's a doctor. Well, he was only in there for.
Well, when they do it in a hospital, they do. I mean, that is a valid procedure, to actually take a piece of the brain out to reduce the swelling. I've seen it actually on.
You've seen it in real life?
Not real. Like in those, you know, operating room.
Oh yeah.
Documentaries, but they do it with, you know, obviously sanitized and clean instruments in a hospital environment, not like on a table.
A drill, probably that used for food or something.
Yeah, with rust in it. I also found it, I was a little confused why, I think this is just bad writing, is why Hector, who is it, Hector? So Hector is...
Elena's nephew.
Yeah, so why did Hector give a crap? Because Hector was all worked up. He was even crying at one point. Hector was like,
good acting.
He was crying, like, okay, Hector, why do you care?
Like, this, you're not related to this person.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, you locked them all up in a freaking
room Hector,
to kill each other.
Hector was, wasn't he kidnapped by the family?
Yeah.
The wedding guests?
Now they're best friends?
Yes. What, that was wrong. That was like a mistake.
Is he the only other person that would have a say? What about the other family members? I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
Like,
but,
what was the mother's relation? Like, the mother was absent through the whole two episodes.
Yeah.
Who's Oscar? I'm confused. Is Oscar the mother's son?
Oscar is the guy that was supposed to marry the bride. The bride's mother was the woman.
Hmm.
So the guy that got the heart attack was the father. The woman, the really tall woman, was the bride's mother. The guy and his brother are related by marriage.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, why is Hector like freaking out? And he rushes upstairs and punches Travis out. Like, Hector? Like, okay. Why are you defending the, like, okay, whatever.
I guess he just believes that he, that in the rules that Madison set down, and was very passionate and adamant about it. I don't know. It's like, no, you ruined my hotel. Yeah, he's not that worked up about it, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see Oscar. Who was Andreas?
Andreas
had a gun and he was pointing it at Travis, and it made sense. You know, okay, you killed my brother, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, so I guess, but just Hector's rage didn't compute.
Yeah. It just didn't make sense.
And then Alicia,
maybe he's just an aggressive guy. Who knows?
So let's play the audio clip where Madison is talking to Travis about how evil she is, apparently.
You need to know who you're leaving with, Maddie. Whoever you think I am. Whatever part of me you think is the same. It's not.
You think I don't know?
I know that.
Travis.
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry that they're dead.
You shouldn't be. They deserved it. I'm no better, Travis. I'm worse. You killed. Yes. So have I. Celia. I locked her in with her dad. To protect Nick. I know the world changed you and made you this. For me, I've been like this a long time. I understand what you did. Why you did it. And I'll understand when you do it again, because you will. You'll have to. We will have to. And I can face that if you're with me.
So they're reaffirming their vows. What?
She's like, I can face that if you're with me. Like, I could tell, I could hear her southern drawl.
Also, one thing she said, which was interesting.
She's like, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think you're going to touch on the same thing. Was she said, this world made you this. It changed you. But I was like this for a while.
Yeah.
Like, she was always evil, really? Like this? Really?
No,
to kill
since,
people?
Since that thing, since that day, I think. Or since the first time she had to kill the principal of the school, maybe. I don't know.
No.
I don't know what she's talking about, because you've been like, what, like a long time? That literally happened a week ago.
Well, maybe she's talking about the protectionist mentality about with Nick.
See, and then she goes, but I had to do it for Nick.
Well, I'm just saying, she was like this for a while, meaning I've been willing to do evil to protect Nick for a long time now. I don't know. Was it because the cover-up of her husband's death, like how he died, that kind of thing? That's not killing someone. That's just covering up a secret. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't believe in her. I don't believe what she's feeding us.
I'm not. Madison's character is not someone I'm excited about. Travis, I'm interested to see now that he's accepted his evil side. Oh, another thing which is important, he said, I'm not sorry that they're dead. It's the same thing that Chris said. He's repeating exactly what Chris...
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah, he's repeating exactly what Chris said, which is...
Eerie.
Which is eerie, yeah.
Woo! Yeah, I don't know. I just don't believe in Madison's words. I don't...
So now
I think
we have...
she's just saying what she wants to say to get Travis to still like her. Like, that's how petty I think it is. I think it's very petty.
And plus, they're trying to say that, you know, everything happened for a reason. There's a reason why Travis got there. There's a reason why they got together. It's because we have to stick together and we have to continue on. And they're trying
to... Even what Alicia was saying about, you know, we have to stick together and we can't, if we leave, if we separate, we're never going to... I don't know. I honestly think that this family is so broken that they're... I don't know what they're trying to hold on to. What kind of family they're trying to keep together, because they all look like they despise each other.
They're basically trying to show us that, hey, this is a family that had was broken from the beginning, but it was all hidden, and they were putting on this facade of happiness.
Yeah.
And now they're finally embracing the chaos, and they're embracing their evil side. And
they realize that they stick together in order to survive.
We'll have to stick together no matter what. And then starting season three, we're going to have this new view. We're going to have kind of the A-team of the zombie apocalypse. Madison, Travis, mm-hmm. Alicia, and maybe Nick is going to be this four-team awesome group that's going to kick ass now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, joining with Luciana, yeah.
I don't know about Luciana. Her fate is in...
Is in question.
Is in question. So
lies in her fake wound.
Yeah. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get us this new take on their family. Basically, they're saying that this is the moment where they changed.
Yeah. Pretty much. This is like the moment where they're all different. They've all committed a sin they can't come back from, and there's no going back, and they have to stick together to survive,
mm-hmm.
or to keep each other reinforced that they're still good people.
Yeah. And then Alicia kills someone, so she's crossed the line.
And then Madison later says, when they're in the car, you'll be okay. Because then they have to make a break for it. That's what she says, you'll be okay. Like, pat on the back, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a good mother to Alicia.
Mm-hmm. Let's double back a little bit on Strand again, because a lot of people like Strand. They think he's a great character. We like him too. Talk a little bit about his philosophy about why he decided not to join the group.
Well, he said that, you know, I'm not willing to die for Travis, and I'm not willing to die for any of you.
Yeah.
Which is the same kind of theme. He's a same kind of thing he believes in since day one. You know, he's mm-hmm. only with them because they happen to survive better than other people, I guess. And now that, you know, Strand isn't really connected to, doesn't need to depend on them for survival, he can make the choice to stick with his gun to says, I'm not going. He notices that they're trouble. He notices that they cause problems. And
really?
That wherever they go, you're right. And wherever they go, death follows, and doesn't want to be a part of it, and rather stick his chances at the hotel.
And
even though he still tries to help them, you know,
yeah.
And he realizes
that Madison is full of it too. Because he answers her at one point, are you going to leave with the man that abandoned you?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of double standard is this? Like,
yeah. He abandoned you for a son who is now dead.
He made the choice. He made the choice to leave him. You know.
It's so. Just holding on to something that doesn't exist anymore, and it's really sad.
Yeah. He also made a good point about why she shouldn't tell Travis about the two teenagers.
Because that would crush them. There's things you need and you can't know.
Yeah, just let him have hope.
Yeah, which is sad but true.
Yeah.
But of course, that creates conflict that we need to get solved now because we have the season finale to get through. So they got to iron that out.
We can't leave it open.
Yeah, they can't leave it open.
Because then we will be wondering, oh, Travis doesn't know about Chris. Will he ever find out? Hoo-hoo.
Yeah, it's almost impossible if they're like somewhere else now and the two kids.
Yeah.
So we already knew he was dead since the two kids showed up at the place.
Yeah, well, Madison knew. She knew, right? Because they said...
Oh, she thinks she knew the whole time.
Yeah, that's why she was hyperventilating.
Yeah.
That's why
there was like this slow-mo scene where she's like, yeah, who doesn't... When they were explaining, she's like, turning her head slowly, like, what?
Yeah, because...
She realizes, oh my God.
She was like, I can't tell Travis that Chris is dead. He's going to freak out and kill them, obviously.
And I literally just said that he was, it's good that he's with them. And here they find that I found that he killed them.
Yeah.
Yikes, Madison.
Yeah.
I just,
so they drive off and they go to the Pelicano, the grocery store, and everyone's gone. They're out going mm-hmm. to attack the town.
Yeah, and Madison finds clues, like the bodies of the people, with the address to the place, and just a lot of convenient things.
And
Alicia's like, "What are you doing?" And you know, she gets to the, they get to the place, and they find the walk. It's overrun by walkers, but you know, Madison's like, "I know they were here." And then Alicia does a smart thing and looks inside the bus because she picks up, "Oh, this guy, somebody drove this bus away from wherever it was. There's probably someone in there."
Madison does a last ditch effort to stay in the van and lock the doors. Yeah, right.
Like, okay. Really?
Stop doing that.
She just killed a man. She's not a child anymore.
Stop doing that. Stop protecting her.
Yeah, and then she finds out that Alejandro's still alive.
How convenient.
I don't know how. Yeah, I know.
And then she's there taking care of him while they go off. So he comes back and says, hey, he lasted long enough to say he went to the border. He saw something.
And then they all look at each other and like, well, to the border it is.
Yeah. And then Madison kills him with Alicia's knife.
And that's it.
And so the evil family begins. Road trip begins.
Evil Adams family. Let's see how this goes.
And nothing's going to stop them now.
I know.
And they're off to find Nick, probably. And
then what? Like, where can they go from here?
Well, they're going to go to the border, and then they're going to get attacked by those people with guns.
They're going to have to destroy that camp.
They're not going to shoot them because they're going to see that there's a daughter who's blonde and a mother who's blonde, and they can't be Mexican, so we can't shoot them.
That's true. Well, the daughter's not blonde. She's brunette, but she looks white.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. I know what
you
mean.
Oh, they're Americans. Yay, we're us. We're not going to shoot them.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so it's... I just don't like where it's going. Like, this whole... And also, this episode, or the second last episode, is what we were waiting for the whole show. We were waiting for...
Yeah, all three seasons. I've been waiting for this.
Well, it's two seasons, technically.
This is the second season? I thought this was the third season.
Well, it's the second, but they broke it up into two sections. They call it first half, second half.
Oh, yeah.
But technically, it's two seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
that episode was what we wanted the whole time, and then it just went back down.
Yeah, so now they're saying, okay, now we're going to start a new season with our adventures in the U.S. We're going back to the U.S.
Mexico was fun, but bye-bye.
Mexico was fun. Let's see what happens back home now. And we're just going to get back to the same old, like, they get into a camp, they're trying to escape the camp, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem interesting. Like, I don't know where they can go now.
I've kind of lost interest.
Really?
I have, because there's too many characters that I just don't like. There's only two characters in the whole show that I actually like.
Who's that?
Alicia and Nick.
And Strand, maybe.
And Strand. Yeah, maybe Strand. But he's not even going to be in the show anymore.
I think he might.
So I'm just frustrated because the story is just not where it needs to be, I feel.
So let's go into a little bit of...
Like, well, let's move on.
let's read an email from Vic Miller, who's been writing to us often these last couple weeks. And he says, real quick, as fast as we get some really good story arc going, the show is about to end for the season. This is why I have a hard time connecting with this show. With that said, kudos to the writers for finally giving us something, some kind of story to be interested in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And,
you know, I'm thinking he probably means about Travis and all that. And he says, Chris, really, dude, I get that this brave new world lets you do what you want, but come on, dude, family first always. And if you had learned that and learned this lesson, you would be alive today.
Oh, damn.
I'm so not going to miss your special kind of crazy. Travis, really, dude, why the hell would you let him go? I would have knocked out the kid and sent the others on their way. He would have been made mad, but he would have been alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Chris would have been mad and...
You would get over it.
Chris would have done something, like, because in the previous episodes, what he did was he ran off, right?
Yeah, he probably would have done something the same.
So he would have ran off anyway, or did his own thing, gotten a gun and left, or who knows what. So Chris would be Chris. And I don't think they would have been able to stop him anyway. He's not going to sit in a hotel. Maddie, I knew as soon as the words came out of her mouth that that ban on violence was going to get him tossed out of the one place they had a chance. However, there was a number of towers in that complex. Be smart, move into one of those. But no, she's getting what she wants by being kicked out because it gives her reason to resume her hunt for Nick.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all secretly she wants to go back to Nick. So she's sabotaging herself and her family. She doesn't even realize it.
Nick, so he found a home with the cult of zombie personalities. He found a purpose as a drug manufacturer. He found love. Then he just found his way out the door. But But his loyalty and understanding of the world gives him a true perspective that people should follow. And that's what brings him back. However, she should have known, after what happened in the safe zone, that going to that camp was not the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
His plan for the gang, brilliant. However, they should have waited for them to go inside and then stole their trucks and the supplies.
Jesus style. Nice.
Right?
But then that would be too close to the show.
That would have been a good idea, actually. Smart. Victor, like Nick, he is out for his best interest, and I ain't hating on him for that. He has no true tie to those people, and they keep making silly choices that could get him killed. And that leaves him with no choice but to be out for himself. When it's all said and done, better to be the king of lies than the king of dies. Ooh.
Mm-hmm, that dies, yeah.
No, the king that dies. And staying means he will be able to talk the rest of the survivors in the resort out of all their supplies before meeting back up with the rest of the crew. Alicia proves to be the one who understands how to survive as a unit. Each one defends the other. They should have been following her lead from the start, and they would be in much better shape as a group.
I agree with that.
Daniel's little girl, Ophelia, captured by the same people that Nick saw. Oh, look, plot hole. To get the band back together when they are
all end up in the same
military installation. He says, I'm looking forward to the next season, mainly because I want to know what happened to Victor, Alicia, and Nick. I'm sad
that's
to
it.
Say...
I know. See, that's in it.
The rest would not make me sad to see as walkers.
Right?
Yeah. So, we agree, disagree. We agree most of the stuff. Overall, I think the show is just hanging in there. To be honest, it's not blowing me away, but it's not either.
The only time I've seen a spinoff show that was better than the original show was the show The Originals. The Originals is better than Vampire Diaries, like by far. It's really, really good. It's better than the main show.
Well, it and was. So, you haven't watched it recently.
Well, yeah. No, but I've heard recently that it's actually gotten way better. It's still going on.
Yeah, this it's not blowing me away. I mean, this, like I said, the second last episode I thought was really strong. The last one was just a bunch of loose ends being tied up and
getting
people out of the hotel, getting people out of the town, moving them around. That's all it was. It was nothing amazing. They should have somehow... I mean, they could have used Travis's killing those people as a cliffhanger, but I don't know. I mean, I like the way they did it, but I'm just saying that all they're doing is just setting us up
They're just playing it safe, I feel.
Yeah.
There's so much they can do, but the show writers, I don't know, they're just keeping it safe, I think.
But honestly, didn't you, like, feel that even from the very beginning of season one, there was going to be this event where Travis would go crazy?
Yeah, that's true.
It was kind of like you saw it coming.
Uh-huh. We shouldn't have to feel that way, because with Rick, I did not see the prison coming. I did not see how he would react.
Right.
You know, was totally different than what I expected.
Like, there was so much...
And layers to that.
Yeah, but this one, like, Travis's character was so telling from the beginning. Like, oh, this is a calm man who's going to go evil. Like, you could just see it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just bound to happen. And obviously, they used Chris's death as the trigger for it, but...
Which we predicted, really.
And another thing I noticed... which is minor, but is also telling. When they went into the Colonia to find Nick, Travis walks around, he picks up a shotgun with, like, no big deal. This is the guy who hates guns.
Yeah.
Couldn't shoot the walker.
He picks up two guns.
And he picks up another one, and he holds them, like, gangster style, like,
yeah, you know. In both directions. I'm like, what?
He's a pro with guns already?
Yeah, once you kill somebody, I guess you earn your black belt for guns. Gunmanship.
And I think they did that on purpose to say, hey, this is a new Travis.
Now a badass. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a disappointing. I like the first half of the season finale more than the second half.
So you're agreeing with me?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, there's an interview with Dave Erickson, who's the showrunner for Fear the Walking Dead, and they asked him some questions. We won't read the whole thing, but one of the interview questions are related to Strand, because we said, you know, we want to see more of Strand, and we probably will, because based on the answers here. So Dave has asked a question about Strand, and Dave Erickson says, he's a guy who's been stabbed fairly recently, so in practical sense, he's not ready to hit the road yet. And he's staying in a place where there is water, there's food, and there's relative safety. What we want to see with Strand, he has gone through a mourning period absolutely after the loss of Thomas. He's not a huge fan of Travis. I mean, Travis did take care of him. I don't think Travis is a huge fan of Strand, to be honest. The idea that they were going to leave with Travis was genuinely upsetting to Strand, and he was not ready to leave. And he thought that they were embarking on something of a suicide mission. The practical, pragmatic Strand didn't want anything to do with that. We are going to see the return of the con artist Strand. He's about to find his rhythm. When he told Madison that he was going to be okay, he meant it. And what will come in season 3 is that he's now thinking several steps ahead. And he definitely has his own agenda. Strand will return to himself.
Yeah, he has his own agenda again. Like, he has a new mission now.
Right. So there you go. So Strand will come back and we'll see more of him. And also, he continues to talk about more about season 3. And he says, one of the things we're angling towards going into season 3 is it'll be very much our border season. Telling stories just north and south of the border. Wow, this series is moving slow.
I know.
And seeing how these interact. My hope is there's a world in which we see the return of Daniel Salazar. What? Daniel's coming back?
He's dead.
He was dead.
Yeah.
I feel there are certain characters that are out there. They're in play. They're definitely not dead. I think Alex is alive. I think Jack is alive. It's nice in a way because it means as we continue to break, we could break season 3. If there are opportunities to bring more characters into the fold, we can do that. So they're leaving open the possibility that those other characters might come back.
I want to see Jack back. I like Jack.
Yeah. So they're not moving too far away from the border, I guess, apparently. And also he's saying that it's actually, I think, starting this with this Walking Dead. You know how they had Flight 462 was like a miniseries?
Yeah.
Where they had like little episodes interjected in the... where they brought in this other character, Alex, she crashed from the plane. So they're going to do the same thing this year with The Walking Dead. They're going to have these little web series, 15-second episodes.
Right? That will have a character from that web series come onto The Walking Dead eventually.
Yeah, probably, So we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
So we will see more of Strand, so don't worry. Something's going to happen with him. And I'm glad they're going back to who Strand was originally, because that's how we saw him as, you know, the guy who wheels and deals and tricks people into doing stuff for him. So maybe he might be doing that for the hotel people, right?
Yeah.
Convincing them to give him all this food or whatever he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Fear the Walking Dead. Are you excited about The Walking Dead coming up?
Yes, I'm so excited. Oh, my goodness.
So who got hit with a baseball bat?
I think it's Daryl.
No.
I honestly think Daryl's gone.
Really?
I think so. I haven't seen any of the teaser trailers, but someone has told me that they pretty much spoiled it. Well, not spoiled it, but let them know that, the right hand man was gone.
Said what?
No, the teaser trailers.
Oh, I thought you said the cheesy trailers.
No. The teaser trailers that I think Negan had said, what are you going to do, Rick? You have lost your right hand man.
Yeah.
Which is a Daryl.
Yeah.
Or Glenn. I don't think it's Glenn. I think it's Daryl. I mean, he's the only one they can kill off that has not been in the comic book.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. Do you want to watch the latest sneak peek?
I do. I do. Send it to me.
So let's watch that.
I'm watching it now.
Okay. Yeah, so what'd you think?
It's totally Daryl. Oh my god! You see the thing on the ground?
What was it? What about it?
Like a what was it? Oh, crap.
Poncho.
The poncho he was covered with.
No.
Oh, you don't have one of those, huh? You need a. You don't have one of the.
Right.
It's Daryl. It's Daryl. It's totally Daryl.
Wow.
It's gone. He's gone, Dad. He's gone. Accept it now.
Well, there'll be riots.
That's what they want, because they're like, we screwed up by not telling them beforehand. Now we gotta make it really dramatic.
Well,
I don't know if that's the smartest idea, though.
What?
Killing Daryl.
Well, the thing is that he did say, you need a right-hand man. Did you had one of those? Oh, I guess not anymore, right? Because I just killed him?
Yeah.
Daryl was his right-hand man, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying! That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh my God. This clip, I was watching it. My heart was pounding.
I know.
My heart was pounding and I was like getting sweats. Like that's how intense that scene was.
Like he was looking at him like he was ready to eat him. And like Rick was manhandled, dude. Dragged to the trailer. Are they going to kill Rick? What's he going to do to Rick?
He just wants to put him in his place so he doesn't threaten him. He says, oh, because I'm going to kill you either today or tomorrow. I'm going to kill you one day. And then it's like, okay, well, let me teach you a lesson so you don't talk like that anymore. I think that's what would happen. But the thing is, one of my point is, this 3-minute clip gave me more stress than I've seen in the whole 2 seasons of Fear the Walking Dead.
Give you more stress and anxiety?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly
it's
what you're
crazy.
Saying.
It's crazy. Like, I had so much vested in these 3 minutes that I it's incredible, like, how powerful the whole confrontation was, and it gave me more excitement than like anything I've seen in the Fear of the Walking Dead. So there you go.
I know. There you go. Bye.
Well, let's end this.
Okay. Drops mic. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell all your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.